The president has a lot of discretionary power when it comes to immigration. He says policies that can very quickly change the lives of people who have long ties to the U.S. or are escaping violence. Change for the better or for the worse. The World's Anjali Shah is here to talk about the effects of some of these policy changes under Donald Trump. So have you seen this all play out?
Well, Marco, all over the country, we're seeing a lot of people really scrambling to figure out what to do as new policies come down. They have to often submit very complicated paperwork or save money for the fees and try to get in lines at often overworked bureaucracies. I'll give you an example. I live in Minnesota, and I met one family here from El Salvador in a particularly thorny situation because of the changes to immigration policy in the Trump administration. I met two brothers from El Salvador, both left for the U.S. because of the violence they experienced there. And I met their dad. They were really honest about their situation.
Yeah, so walk us through their immigration story, Anjali.
So David is in his 30s. He made a really risky journey by land using smugglers in 2002. Josue is his younger brother. He is 18, and he arrived by plane in 2016. So Josue was able to come legally, actually. He has what's called humanitarian parole, a discretionary, temporary status to live and work in the U.S. It was part of an Obama-era program, the Central American Minors Program.
Yeah, so the Central American Minors Program, that's not the same thing as DACA. What is that program about?
DACA is a temporary, also discretionary program, but for people who are already in the U.S.
Gotcha.
This one, the Central American Minors Program, was for kids who have ties to the U.S., parents in the U.S., who were stuck in their home countries, Guatemala, Honduras, or El Salvador, and in danger. So when the Central American Minors Program began in 2014, there were almost 70,000 kids caught at the southern border traveling alone. You probably remember that summer. It was pretty dramatic.
Yeah, I remember that summer. I just had forgotten how many kids we were talking about.
Yeah, it was a lot of kids. The Central American Minors Program, though, was a pretty small effort to allow parents legally here to bring their kids over. With CAM, just 3,260 were actually allowed to resettle in the U.S.
And Josue already had a parent in the U.S., right?
Yes. His dad has, and again, this is where, you know, immigration gets really complex. His dad has TPS, another temporary program, temporary protected status, which he got in 2001 because he was in the U.S. when El Salvador was struck by a very powerful earthquake. So Josue's dad has been here with that status for about 17 years.
What has changed for this family under the Trump administration?
So both TPS for Salvadorans and the Central American Minors Program have been canceled. So what that means is that Josue will lose his status in the fall. His dad will lose his status in 2019. So the family, which has been struggling to reunite for 15 years, has some really tough choices to make.
What options do they have?
Not a ton, but they will try to adjust their status, meaning they'll apply for another round of parole or maybe even green cards. They could potentially, like others, try to apply for asylum. But these are all kind of long shots for them. If these applications don't work, they have to choose. Do they all stay as undocumented people and risk arrest, or do they return to El Salvador? Here's what Josue says about trying to make that choice.
No sé, no tengo idea, pues, porque es muy complicado. Pues, si uno regresa a su país, pues, va con aquel.
I don't know. It's very complicated. You go from here, where you've lived so much better, and fall into that fear again. In a country where things are really, really dangerous, it's very different to go from here to there. And there, they think you have money because you've lived here. It's really complicated. I don't know what to do next.
Josue did say that it's possible and that he's worried that gang members could target him if he returns from the U.S. And Josue's older brother, David, doesn't want his younger brother to return.
Creo que es mejor que estar allá.
I think it's better than going back there, even after all these years that I've been here without documents. Yeah, it's hard here to live in constant fear of the police, of being caught up in a raid. But it's still better than going back to our countries, where the situation is so much worse. The uncertainty here is really hard, but it's the hope that keeps us going.
So, Anjali, now what? And what's life like for these brothers as they contemplate this really difficult decision?
You know, the family has been through a lot. Their faith and their church here gives them a lot of strength to just keep going. David has been fixing up his family's small house. He has a wife and three young children who were born in the U.S. They live in a part of Minnesota that's surrounded by farms and big open streets, and they're working. They have jobs, they're making a living, and they're paying taxes. It's hard for them, though. It's really difficult to have been separated and now have to make this kind of choice. David said something to me that I keep thinking about. I asked him what he wants Americans to know about his family. And this was the only time he became emotional.
Cuando yo vine a este país, dije, me gustó la manera como tratan a los animales, como cuidan a los animales, vegetación.
When I got to this country, I noticed how people here treated their animals, the kindness and the care they showed animals, and the land and the vegetation. I like that. And I thought, wow, what if they could treat us Hispanic people the same way? With that same kindness, they could at least treat us, you know, as human beings, instead of just treating us like terrorists and thinking of us as bad people.
Wow, that's pretty intense. It must really make them scratch their heads.
Yeah, and it becomes quite striking when you think about it that way. What this family wants is a home, and they've come to think of Minnesota as their home. So to have that, what they need is reform that both helps Central Americans leave violent situations and also at a broader level helps their countries to heal from decades of war and instability.
The World's Angelique Shaw, thanks very much for introducing us to these two brothers, Josue and David, and their family.
My pleasure.
The U.S. played a big role in what has happened in El Salvador over the years. You can read more about that history and this family at PRI.org. Part of our series this week called Walls We Don't See.